Oh, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Somebody give the Lord a shout of triumph. Somebody that believes the Bible right now, stand to your feet and give the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a standing ovation, a welcome that is worthy of a king, worthy of a Savior, worthy of the Lamb of God. That's right. I'm not responsible for anyone else. I'm responsible for me, and he is worthy. Hallelujah. You may be seated. If you went home right now and nothing else happened in your life than what's already happened to you tonight, it would have been worth it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to church. No, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go down to the old church house. No, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because when I get there, I'm going to have an encounter with God. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. God invoked some things tonight. How many of you believe without a doubt the word of God is true and it's unchangeable and it cannot fail you? Then you know that the Bible said that the word cannot, it is impossible for it to return to him void until it accomplishes in you what God sent it to do. You have heard the Rhema word sung through our praise team and through Sister Janet. It's pretty obvious tonight that God wants to heal somebody. It's pretty obvious tonight that God wants to give someone a miracle. I'm going somewhere with this. God always confirms his word. He will send his word and he will heal them. Now, when I asked Sister Janet, and they've drove a pretty long ways to get here, and I've got some other friends here from Baltimore Avenue Church of God, all the way up in Albertville, Alabama, drove all the way down here from Sand Mountain to be in revival with us tonight. That's expectation. But the word, you know, guys, when I asked Sister Janet to come, I'm only responsible to do what God's called me to do. I'm not responsible to correct other men unless they ask for my advice. I am not responsible to rebuke other ministries if my preaching rebukes it by what I say, and if it's contrary to the word, I'm not rebuking it. The Lord's word is rebuking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the point that I'm making, when I asked Sister Janet to come, and her and Dennis graciously agreed, I was excited because of two of the dearest friends that I have on the planet Earth. And then when Richard told me that he was coming also, that's the Wilson clan up there from around Summerton Way and Dilworth Way, I was excited because I love them and I love to see them minister. But tonight, guys, she had the mind of God as she has on every occasion. And she didn't just sing tonight. She sang a word of message put to music. And if you want what she sang about tonight, you can have it. You can get to that throne and find help in the time of trouble. But if you're going to do that, you got to enter his gates. How? Through thanksgiving. And if you really want to get close to him, you get in his courts through praise. So somebody right now, praise God for your miracle. Praise God for your healing. Praise God for your deliverance. Praise God for that breakthrough. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And what God has laid in my heart is that God is desperately trying to bring together the body of Christ, which you think ought to be pretty easy, seeing it's his body and he's the head. But for that to happen, all of us have to become transparent. All of us, our agendas have got to go in the background. And God does give us missions and things. I have no use for somebody that has no ambition whatsoever. But my first ambition is to have more of God today than I had yesterday. And if I don't, I wasted a day. I'm going somewhere. The point is, God has spoken to me that I am to try to bring as many of the talented people in the body of Christ together for one last offense against the kingdom of darkness, to win our loved ones, to see them set free before the rapture of the church. And for that to happen, we've got to mesh together. We got to blend together. We've got to become one mind in Christ. It is my desire, Sister Janet, as great as you sing and as wonderful as Dennis, you play the guitar, it is my desire for the anointing to become so great on the body of Christ that people leave the house of God not talking about Brother John or anybody that sang, but talking about the agenda, the message, the word, and the presence of the Almighty God. I want them to leave the house of God where we are so blended in God, Bishop Kenny, that all people see is the agenda and the plan of God for our lives. And for the, and guys, I'm going to tell you something. I'm amazed that God will use even somebody like me to convey his heart and his mind to his people. Right now, I'm going to ask you to praise God for your miracle. Praise God for your breakthrough. Praise God for your victory. Not a temporary victory, but a permanent, lasting victory, an enduring victory. Right now, I'm going to ask you one more time to praise the Lord for the sustained victory that he's going to release into your life tonight. Yeah. For the last couple months, God has been speaking to me, Sister Billy, that the rest of my life is going to be the best. Not necessarily by man's measurement of it, but by God's measurement of it. And that the churches that are hungry for hours such as this, saints, we have never lived in such a perilous time in the history of this world. Never have the enemy had so much nuclear power and weapons, chemical weapons available to bring destruction across the world. And the only thing that can protect this nation and protect our cities is the presence of God himself. And God is calling a remnant of people to get hungry for him so that God's favor and God's protection can be upon us. And oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Now bear with me. God has been speaking to me, and I'm sure to you, Brother Stroop and Brother Mike Woods, Bishop Woods, that God is about to accelerate the miraculous. We're about to enter a season of signs and wonders in greater numbers and greater magnitude than the church has ever seen. We're going to see more souls saved, more miracles, more breakthroughs, more supernatural victory, greater than anything in the history of the world, the Bible, greater than even the book of Acts. Why? Because he's a God of grace, and he's a God of mercy, and he desires that none should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. And signs and wonders will draw people. And the power of God, now I'm saying this for a reason. If we're about to enter this type of season, we're going to see manifestations of God more powerful and greater than we've ever seen before. Our expectation has got to change. If this fits any of y'all, just take it for yourself. But I've got to enter a season in my life, Dennis, where I start taking all limitations off what God wants to do in me and through me. I've got to quit limiting God by my thought of my worthiness to be used of God. The truth is, without God, none of us would be worthy to be used of him. God is doing this because he loves the people. Listen to what I'm saying. And God has spoken to me that I've got to stop limiting him and putting limits on what he can do. I too remember booking revivals with no ending dates. I remember when I first started coming to Alabama that I wouldn't even book a pastor unless he was willing to book at least 2 weeks of revival up front, because I would tell the guys who had asked me why I did that, Richard, I said, I didn't come to make the devil mad. I've come to help run him out of town, and you ain't gonna do that in 4 nights. You might do just enough to make him mad. You know, listen to what I'm saying. I know it's hokey-jokey. So God began to speak to me, and I've always thought, you know, God, I try to be a man of faith, When I read the Bible, I don't sit there and doubt it, Sister Frieda, that any of the promises are true. I fast, I pray, I try to worship the best I can. And I said, God, how am I limiting you? You wouldn't be telling me that I'm limiting you unless I'm limiting you. Show me. And God said, you're limiting me, son, because of your vision, because of your perception. The Bible says, without a vision, the people will perish. And guys, God said, the vision is not my vision of ministry or my vision of what God can do or is wanting to do, but it's got to become his vision, because he's the only one that's capable of understanding what he's ready and wants to do for the hungry. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you desperate for a mighty move of God in your life? If you are, throw your hands in the air. So bear with me. And I've got to start having a vision that has been given to me from God. And if the vision comes from God, then it's going to be the agenda of God. It's going to be the mind of God. It's going to be the plan of God. Now, what I want you guys to know is God started speaking to me about this months ago, about this message. I didn't write it till late in August, but before all this mess started happening over in the Middle East, all this junk in Syria, this is a significant mess. I want to say something. You are a significant people. I invited my friends from Summit or Dilworth because you are important key players in the plan of God. You may not see it. Mike Woods, you're a significant person. Bishop Stroop, you're a significant man of God, like Esther, except a guy for an hour such as this. And this is a significant choice, and the Birmingham, greater Birmingham area is a significant location in what God wants to do. But God is getting weary of calling people over and over and over again to seek his face. Now we can respond to God, or he's going to send folks out to the highways and the byways and invite people to the wedding that want to come to the rapture. Now listen, the point I'm making is you're a people of grace. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're a person of significance. This is a choice of significance. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 13, voice 14, I think it's 13 or 14. Last night, I did not have any, I think it's voice 13, I'm sorry. I talked about the Elijah being taken alive to heaven in the whirlwind, not even thinking, because I didn't know until about 2 o'clock this morning that I was going to be preaching about this, that I would be talking about the death of the man that followed Elijah. Now, Joash, now this is important we understand this. There were at least five other kings that had the name Joash. Now, this is not Joash, the king of Judah, because he had just died a few voices ahead. Maybe not the exact time that voice was written, but he had already died. And in my research, I discovered, Pastor, and especially in God, in Bible days, when God gave a man a name like Joshua, God delivered or God saved, past tense, it's whenever God gives a man a name, it's to convey his plan for his life, what he wants to do through him and by him, and how he wants to use him. I find it interesting, Pastor, that five different kings of either Judah or Israel were made Joash. Why? Because God wanted to remind them every time they heard their name, what he wanted to do through them, by them, and in them. How many knows that for right now, till Jesus comes back and repose this planet, God works through people. He does very few things unless he finds somebody. Somebody say, I'm willing to be the people. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, anything God would have five different kings named, there has to be significant. The word Joash means Jehovah fired. You guys work with metal all the time. I reckon you got to heat that metal sometimes to make it work the way you need to work it. It means Jehovah fired or Jehovah fired up. That reminds us who God is. God is a consuming fire. But it goes on to say something else. If you trace it back to the original root word, it means Jehovah, the self-existing, eternal, unchangeable God. In other words, every time Joash heard his name mentioned, he thought that his power and his authority was coming from God, who was a consuming fire, and he's an eternal God, and he's unchangeable, and he's unstoppable. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And it's going to be just a little hoiky-joiky, but bear with me because it's a prophetic message. And I'm just going to say something, not prophetic, prophetic. I'm going to say something. I'm not qualified or worthy to preach this message to the body of Christ. However, I'm convinced if God can pay taxes through a fish, if he can preach through a donkey, he can give me a prophetic word for the church, and maybe all the more powerful because I'm the least of his servants, and the word will be weighed more than one's ability or talent. And Joash slept with his fathers. He died. And Jeroboam sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria. Notice the rest with the kings of Israel. Notice voice 14. Turn to somebody and don't hurt them, but gently elbow them and say, it's hoiky-joiky. But if you'll respond to this, tell them, if you'll respond tonight, nothing will be impossible for you anymore after tonight. Now, I got to clarify this, saints. The Bible says in the New Testament that there's a sickness unto death. The Bible further says, unfortunately for all of us, I believe the rapture is going to come before most of us die. But at the same time, the Bible says we all got an appointment if the rapture don't happen. It's appointed on us to die and then the judgment. Now, in Old Testament times, people did not get healed nearly as frequently as they do now because Jesus had not bore the stripes upon the cross of Calvary yet. Plus, after Jesus bore the stripes, he empowered all believers to lay hands on the sick. Not so in the Old Testament days, pretty much if you were going to get healed, it had to be a prophet. And just a few prophets were. So now healing is much more. Everybody, how many believe that Jesus wants to heal everybody in the body of Christ? Unless God tells me otherwise, I'm going to pray for you to be healed. And if I ever stop praying for you to be healed, know that you're fixing to meet Jesus face to face. I'm not gonna stop praying for your healing unless God says you're going to heaven. That's why, Bob, when we came to see you, you remember, I wouldn't even come till I fasted 3 days. Not because I made myself worthy. I fasted 3 days because in my natural man, I couldn't see you coming home from the hospital. In my mental state, I couldn't see you coming home. But here you sit tonight, a living, walking miracle, because we serve a healing God. Now, Elijah, however, was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. What he got now is going to claim his life. The prophet's dying. God knows it. He knows it. Everyone else knows it. Joab knows it. And so this is a very important time in the history of Israel, in the changing of leadership. If that next leader isn't spiritual, it will make the nation very vulnerable. I was sharing with Jane, my spiritual mother, on the way to church, that I heard an interview by George Bush Sr. that I never forgot. They asked George Bush Sr. after George Bush Jr.'s administration was over, they said, what was the difference, George, between your administration and your son's administration? George Bush Sr. said, I believed in prayer. My son, in his administration, he did pray. Somebody give the Lord, are you hearing? There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, Elijah was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down upon him to Samaria and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, I'm king. I have authority over you by my office. But spiritually, you're my father. I depend on you for mentoring and direction and protection. And we're facing a war, and we're facing a terrible opposition. We're facing a horrible nation that wants to destroy us. I need you, Father, now more than I've ever needed you. And he wept over his face and said, oh, my father, my father. Now notice, when Elijah went, Elijah called him the chariot of Israel. Now he's dying. He's been under this mantle so long that Joash is calling him the chariot of Israel, which represents what the king rides on, which is the agenda of the king of kings, and the Lord of lords. And now Elijah had been under this mantle for so long that it is no longer him that liveth, but the agenda of God. See, the calling or the anointing or the chariot didn't get absorbed into Elijah to make Elijah look big. Elijah got absorbed into the chariot so that the chariot, somebody shout hallelujah. So the agenda is what was seen. It said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The horses, of course, are the power that pulls the chariot or the agenda of God. This is, of course, the working of the Holy Ghost, but also I believe it could be angels. Most theologians that I've ever read believe that Michael, the archangel of war, is the archangel over appointed to protect Israel and their allies from their enemies. Would somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Now, this is where the story picks up. But we need to see where the exchange first time took place. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. How many were not here last night? Let me see your hands. That's quite a few folks. And so I touched on this last night, and I'm not going to preach a long time on it, but I want to tie it all together because you can't have one part of it without the other part of it. And so I'm just going to touch on it. And it came to pass when they had gone over, Elijah and Elijah. And saints of God, how many are glad that you're spirit filled and you're spirit thrilled? How many are glad that you have the privilege of attending a spirit filled church where the Holy Ghost is not tolerated, but the Holy Ghost is celebrated? Because I submit to you that you cannot ask for a double portion of something that you've never seen the single portion of. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I should do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray or beg thee this. I want this so bad, I'm pleading with you. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit or the Holy Spirit that's on your mantle, that's giving you the power to do what you've done all these years, let it be upon me. I said last night, it is my desire to see every minister that God raises up after me to do at least twice the exploits for God that I did. It is my desire that the church of today would have twice the outpouring of the Holy Ghost of the church of yesterday. And we can have it, but it's not going to come cheap. It's going to cost something. You ask a heart. Notice the next voice. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing, hard but not impossible. Nevertheless, if thou will see me, if you will see what the Holy Ghost is all about, if you will see the purpose of what you've asked for, then you can have it. If you don't see the purpose, because it's not to build up little superheroes in the faith, it is to promote. If you don't see it, then you're not going to have it. Guys, young ministers, Eric has asked me to mentor him, so I can talk to him different than some of y'all because he's asked me to be his mentor. And I'm going to tell you something. When you first realize God called you to preach, and then you get up and you get anointed, that anointing is intoxicating. And then you stand back and see God supernaturally begin to move. I got to just tell you the truth. It's pretty cool. And if you don't realize, Sister Billy, that it's God doing all this, it would be real easy to get a big head. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I believe that anybody used of God has to pray to not get arrogant, because God will do things through us that are so awesome that if we allow ourselves and we just... Oh, listen to me. Never take your press seriously. You're probably not as bad as your enemies say. You're probably not as nice as your friends say. You're probably the cat somewhere in the middle. I believe that arrogant, there's only one thing that can make jealousy in the church. There's only one thing. And it's got to be arrogance. It's got to be. Guys, I can honestly say that I prayed that for everyone here that feels the call of the ministry, that God would give you a double portion of anything that I've ever done. Because it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about the kingdom of God. God, how many don't want to be on God's hate list? Fortunately, it's a short one. But God hates a proud look. Why? Because He knows it's jealousy and arrogance. God will not compete with me, and I don't want Him to. I want God to do something so big tonight that y'all leave here and say, ain't no way John could have done that. Only if thou see anyone I'm taking from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Notice the next voice, please. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, the same thing. Happened in 2 Kings 13, other than the tornado. And they parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. 12. And Elijah saw it and cried, don't this sound familiar? My father, the chariot of Israel, you've been my spiritual father, and now you're gone. When he dies, he had stepped so much into that anointing of God that the king's calling him the same title. So shout hallelujah. And the horse thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Why? Because I was the armor bearer for the prophet. Now I've stepped into the office of prophet. I might have started out like Stephen, waiting tables, doing the ministry of helps, but now I step into the ministry of preaching the gospel. But when you step into that next level of authority, it doesn't make you a big shot. Or I'm not you, but me a big shot. It means I'm responsible for even more. And that leads to a lot of sleepless nights. You ask Jane and Bob how many nights I walk the floor praying and seeking God, because you don't lord over God's heritage. You're a shepherd over God's here. See, this is awesome. Now notice voice 13. Are you enjoying this? If you are, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back, which is the chariot, the agenda of God, and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Voice 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? Richard, where is the God of Pentecost? Where is the God of Barney Creek? Where else? Somebody shout hallelujah. And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. That's a small miracle, but it's the first of many, twice as many, in fact, as Elijah. Notice voice 15, the reason for this. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah or the same spirit that's on was on Elijah is now on Elisha. This is imperative for you and I to understand, because if you read Malachi chapter 4, it says that's the same spirit that's going to come on the end day church to bring sons and daughters back to their moms and dads again, and dads back to their sons and daughters. Would somebody shout hallelujah? And the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Don't ever do that. But this is signifying how much they recognize the authority of the prophet of the day. Now let's go back to 2 Kings 13, and you're being very patient. And Elijah said unto him, the king saying, all these years I've had you, Elijah, to cover me and keep me safe spiritually. You're my father. You're the father of this country. Your anointing and your mantle has protected us all these years. Elijah, are we still going to have that mantle? Are we still going to have that protection? Are we still going to... Listen, guys, America's in danger. You better get it in your head right now. This problem ain't going to go away. And either we get a hold of God, or I'm telling you that we cannot protect everything the terrorists could hit. But we got to God that can protect everything. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something from the Word of God tonight. And Elijah said unto him, take the bow and the arrows. Richard, this really touched me because I'm a bow hunter. I'm a gun hunter also, but I'm also a bow hunter. And I like to hunt with a bow, so I could relate to this. And he said, Elijah said unto him, take the bow and the arrows. And he took it on him, the bow and the arrow. Now, notice verse 16. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. Joash, you're scared because you're losing the mantle. You're afraid that you're losing the protection of God. So put your hand on the bow. This, saints of God, is an impartation service. That's why we have these altars, and I pray for people. It's not to take up people's time. It is an impartation for our survival. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. Are you seeing this? This is, guys, how many are concerned about our country? Let me see your hands. How many of you are concerned about our brothers Israel? How many are concerned about the terrorist problem facing the world today? How many of you know that if we don't get a hold of God as a people, that our nation is vulnerable because of its godlessness, because of its backsliding? So I'm taking my time here. Go to Genesis chapter 49. Verse 26, Joseph is a fruitful broth, even a fruitful broth by a well whose branches or daughters run over the wall. In other words, he's very productive. He produces a lot of fruit. Notice verse 23. Jacob is speaking blessings, or Israel, over his 12 sons. And everything he said came to pass exactly as he said it. Now he's speaking over Joseph, and then he's going to speak over the other one, the last one. And the archers have sorely grieved thee. You've got some enemies that have tried to take you out. And if they could, they would. And shot at him and hated him. How many of you know that the devil hates you? And anybody that's carnal can be influenced by the devil to be used of the devil to bring hate on your... How many have ever... Someone shout hallelujah. Notice voice 24. You guys are being so cool. But his bow abode or bowed or lived or sustained in the strength, and the arm of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. In other words, the reason why Joseph survived all the things the devil tried to do to kill him was that God's hand came upon his hand and sustained him. And the same might of the Almighty is what the prophet's saying. Put your hand on the bow, and I'm going to put my hand on your hand. And the same power that sustained Joseph is now going to come on you and sustain you also. And it says, of the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from thence is the shepherd. Shepherds are the only ones that get people, that care for other people, that get this. And the stone of Israel, voice 25, even by God of thy fathers, who shall help thee, by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. When I put my hand on you tonight, I have rhema in me, and it's going to be just like the prophet of God putting his hand on the bow of Joash, and this is what it's going to release into your life. How many want this? Who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, the blessings of the deep that lieth under, and the blessings of the beast of the womb. Notice that's it right there. Now let's go back. Oh yeah, let's read verse 26 too. Thank you, sis, for bailing me out. And the blessing of thy father hath prevailed above the blessing of the progenitors, which means someone who has conceived something to birth it. Who was that? That was his brothers, who out of jealousy set out to destroy him and birth a plan. But God was not done with Joseph, was he? God took him from the pit to the palace, and God's fixing to take you from the pit to the palace if you'll give the Lord a hand. Wow. Now let's go back to 2 Kings 13 and pick it up at verse 17, because this is the significance of what the prophet's having the king do here. It's the same power being revealed to us through the natural so that we can comprehend the supernatural. And he said, open the window. Somebody throw your hands up and say, a window's open for me, a window of opportunity. I either go through this time or it's gonna be closed, and I ain't gonna, no more excuses. God's opened the door for the body of Christ to stand up and be the church, and either we do it or And he said, open the window. God told me something. He said that the church of God is a sleeping giant, that we have not touched the tip of the iceberg of our potential, but God wants to do through this mighty organization. But we have got to go through the door. God's opening the door one more time for a great revival in America. And if people don't go through the door this time, then he's going to go on and find some folks. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shoot. I thought I talked funny. And he shoot. And he said, the era of the Lord's deliverance. This is no ordinary arrow, Mike, Bishop Mike. The word arrow here means piercer. It means a piercing. It means an arrow producing a deadly wound. The word means the thunderbolt of God. So when he put his hand on that bow, Richard, that man, that arrow he flew was no ordinary arrow. It was the thunderbolt of God. Someone shout hallelujah. Now, further it goes on, as you go to the root word, it means the purpose is revealed. It means to chop to pieces, to sever, to curtail, to as far as demonic, not people, to cut off in the midst or cut in half from. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it is this arrow that he says, shoot, and it's the Lord's arrow. It is the arrow of deliverance. Oh, go back. Oh, go back to the beginning of verse 17. And he said, open the window. And he opened, and he said, shoot, and he shoot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord, the arrow of the Lord. If it's the Lord's deliverance, then it's the Lord's arrow. Are you seeing what I'm saying, saints? The word deliverance means to rescue. It means physically and spiritually rescue. It means to help, to produce safety, to produce deliverance, to produce victory. Over who? The rest of the voice now. And the arrow deliverance from Syria. We got a choice to make, y'all. The same folks Joash is messing with then is the same folks that is terrorizing the world now. I submit to you, if the man of God then would have manned up and did what God told him to do, we wouldn't be messing with the Syrians right now. I've missed it. I've missed it trying to be seeker friendly. I've missed it trying to be politically correct. Syria. And he said, it's the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Assyrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed. Leave that up till thou hast consumed them. Aphek is a city, but not just any city in Canaanite of Assyria, but it is a fortress city, a stronghold. Always believed if you could take Aphek, you could take the entire country because it was the most fortified city. God's saying, I gave you an arrow for deliverance for this country, and I'm telling you, you can take it back. The word smite means, guys, I didn't write the Bible. My daughter thinks I did, but I didn't. It means to beat. It means to cast forth. It means to clap like the clap of thunder. To proceed forward indeed. It means to kill. It means to make a slaughter. It means to slay and to laugh in the face of your adversary till they have consumed them. Somebody remember that word consumed. Notice Voice 18, please. You guys are being so cool. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them and said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. I just told you what the word smite means. It means to cast out, means to beat, means to kill, means to slaughter, it means to slay. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them and he said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. And he smote it three times or thrice and stayed, stopped. Don't look like he did anything wrong, did it? He did what the prophet said, but he had such limited vision. He was now limiting what God could do by what he thought he could do. And he finds out that because he smote it three times, in verse 25, we see the three victories that the arrow represents, and all he gets is back what the devil took. He took no new territory for God. God wants us to take our nation back for the glory of God. God wants the church to smite that ground. But we got to quit limiting God. He stopped. He stopped short because of his vision of what God could do. I'll be happy just getting back the cities we lost. Now notice voice 19. God speaking to us. You guys are so wonderful. And the man of God was wroth. You know what the word wroth means? It means to burst out in rage. It means to be angry, displeased, to fret. Why did the prophet get like this? Because the prophet knew that he was dying. The prophet knew, the king knew, everyone knew. At this point, he's one miracle short of double. And now he has a chance to see double. And this, Pastor Stroop, is the way he wants to leave this world, with the greatest miracle of all that God used him to perform. He wanted to leave with the knowledge that he had done something for the people he shepherded over that would keep them safe after he was gone. But notice, and the man of God was wroth. He was enraged. He was angry. I mean, displeased, and was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten the Assyrians till thou hast consumed, or Syria, till thou had consumed it. That word consumed means to put an end to. It means to cease to exist. It means to finish off. It means to perish, to consume away, to utterly destroy, to fully bring it to pass, to make a wasteland out of. In other words, thousands of years ago, God, through the prophet of God, gave the king a word from God, and all he had to do was not limit God and keep striking the ground until the Syrians did not exist anymore. And we're fighting war right now with people that God would have taken out thousands of years ago if the people of God had not put limits. You're hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying this to show the significance of what we do and don't do today. Esther comes along, and God says to Esther, for an hour such as this, Kenny Stroop, you are significant because you're a man of spirit and faith. This church, this area is significant because of the remnant. And God's saying, I wanted to take the Syrians out then, but because of unbelief, I couldn't do it then because my people just limited. And God is going to take out Syria. God is going to take out Damascus. Read Isaiah chapter 17, voice number one. But that country that is terrorizing the world right now was not the will of God for them to be in the place to do. Esther, she don't want to do nothing because she likes her cushy job. And Mordecai the Jew comes and says, Esther, you think you got favor because you're so hot? And I'm telling you, Esther, you got favor for an hour such as this. And if you don't rescue your people, then you're going to die with your people. But Esther had to take out Haman and his people, who God told Saul to kill a king and all of his children hundreds of years before Esther came along. And if Saul would have done what God told him to do, Esther wouldn't have had to kill Haman because Haman would have never been born. If we miss tonight, Jane, I'm preaching like a dead man. And I'm preaching, Richard, like a man that is horrified that perhaps the churches of America are not going to respond. Saints of God, God does not want the terrorists to prevail or Syria to prevail, but if the body of Christ stands back and limits God, now listen, God said I would have consumed then. And thou, that thou hast smitten the Syrians till thou had consumed it, or Syria, whereas now thou shalt smite the Syrians but three times. The three times they smite them is found in voice 25. But they could have completely annihilated them had they not limited God and keep. Guys, it's time for us to press through until we get complete, sustained, and total victory where the enemy can't come back over. Let me tell you something right now. You are got an area of bondage in your life, of open sin in your life. The grace of God that saved you from sin, that same grace of God can deliver you from that sin. And you've got to make up your mind. Bear with me. You've been really cool. Voice 20. And Elijah died. I had a word. God was ready to completely wipe out Syria. And they wouldn't be on the news in 2014. I had a chance, Eric, to leave this life seeing the greatest miracle God had ever done for me. But because people limited God, Elijah died. And they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the new year, or the year, voice 21. And it came to pass, as they buried a man, that behold, the spirit that spied a band of men, and they cast the man in the sepulcher of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived, and he stood up on his feet. I will say to you, saints, the raising of the dead is a notable miracle. But you read the rest of this chapter, there's no revival, there's no change. In fact, the Syrians get even worse. And the people of Israel suffer horribly. Why? Because that dead man got rose from the dead, and that's all that happened. But God said to the prophet when he put his hand on the bow, I don't even know if he recognized what he was doing to this point. I'm going to release in you the resurrection power before Jesus ever dies. And I'm going to release in you the power that can even raise the dead. But it's not for just one Moabite soldier to be risen from the dead. It is for the destruction of the enemy so that Israel will be spared. Oh, somebody give the Lord. The power of God was available to the point of raising the dead. I guess you know where I'm going. I don't know. Mike Woods, I don't know how many times we're going to have to smoke the ground tonight. 500, 600, 700. But Eric, I've made up my mind that we ain't stopping till we get a sustained supernatural victory from God and God defeats the Syrians. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And guys, I'm just saying right now that God is opening a door for the churches of America to go through. And either we go through it. Someone raise your hands, please, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and say out loud, no more excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses. God has been calling the churches of America to revival. As clear as the nose on our faces, and no more excuses. I don't know how long this revival is going to go, but I'm going to smite the ground until God says he's done with me. And what are you hearing? What I'm trying to say? I'm saying the time has come where God's saying to people in this room that when you were a child, God spoke to you about a plan for your life, and you didn't do it then, and you didn't do it the next time he said to do it, and you didn't do it the next time he said to do it. But this time God says, I want you to do it, and if you don't do it this time, I'm not going to come back again and ask you to do it. I'll find somebody. Now, there'll be consequences. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you'll commit tonight and don't stop short of total healing, total deliverance. Don't stop short of the supernatural Holy Ghost revival we all know and expect and believe God for. I don't know how it's all going to play out, Brother Kenny. I don't know how long, Bishop, I'll be here. But I do know God said I'll send revival to the land. And when revival comes to the land, then the land will become godly again. And when the land becomes godly again, they'll no longer be vulnerable to the Syrians. And if the Syrians try to attack them, then they're picking a fight with me. But right now, until this nation humbles itself and repents of its sin, they've made themselves... God's asking you right now. Eric, come up here, son. Come up here, son. Sit down next to this gentleman right here. The man with the goatee. This is my spiritual son. His father, his grandfather is a great Church of God minister, Billy Hedgepath. I've been pouring into his life. I know his life. I like to use him as one of my catchers because the anointing that flows through me flows into that person, then it comes out that person into the catcher. And there's an impartation. And God's saying something. Listen to me. I'm telling you, man of God, I'm telling you, don't you stop short. How many of you gentlemen feel like you're called to preach? How many, let me see your hand. Just throw it up in the air. Do anybody here feel? No? Okay, I must have missed it. Anybody here feel like you're called to do something for God? You know what God says to you right now? Without holiness, no man can see God. The greatest thing that can happen to this country is to see God. I said the greatest thing that can happen to America is to see God. So, gentlemen, even though there's a lot of churches today telling you through seeker friendly that holiness is not important, holiness is important, and without it, no man shall see God. Don't stop short. Don't stop short just being saved and getting by with the skin of your teeth. Get into the presence of God. Let God sanctify you. Let God baptize you with the Holy Ghost. People ain't listening. Are you hearing me? And God's saying, I want to put my hand upon you this time. And I don't want you to stop smiting the ground with my arrows until the seer. Janet, if we don't get a hold of God, if we don't get a hold of God, our children and our grandchildren are going to suffer great consequences. If the men, I'm asking every man, how many men in this room are saved right now? Throw your hands up, every saved man. I'm asking every saved man in this room to stand up and man up and say, I take responsibility for getting a hold of God so that God supernaturally can give us victory over the terrorists. Please, please, please. God says, I want to release an anointing that will consume the enemy. For I am an eternal consuming fire. So yeah, if you want supernatural victory and breakthrough, sustained victory, continued victory, permanent victory, raise your hand in the air right now. Now I'm going to ask you. You say, Brother John, I know what you're going to do, and I get scared about going to the altars because people lay hands on you. Yeah, I got to lay, but pretend you're a bow right now. Pretend you're a bow that God's going to employ to shoot his arrows to destroy the enemy before they can destroy us. Make no mistake about it. This terrorist problem is not a political thing, and it's not a national thing. It's a spiritual thing, and it goes back thousands of years. But this time, God says, I'll put my hand on the bowl one more time. Will you not limit me this time? Will you let me send a revival? Come here, Richard. Come here, Rich. I need my ushers to come. I'm going to ask you right now. TV show or watch the Braves play. The Braves ain't gonna make the playoffs this year. The Cubs haven't made it in over 100 years. We'll watch them for hours. Is our life, other than entertainment, is our life improved in any way? No. But let a man of God or a woman of God get up and preach the word of God that will save our family from destruction, and we want to limit them to 20 minutes. That's called stopping at three. That's what, just call it what it is. It's stopping short. Richard, come here, man of God. This is one of my dearest friends on the whole planet. I'll say that here. I'll say it now. I'll say it in the presence of God. And God says, I'm going to give you permanent victory, Richard. Hallelujah. Not in just one thing, but in many things. For you are my servant, and my hand is upon you. Put your hand up right now, and don't quit smiting. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't quit hitting that ground until you get complete victory. You might have to do it three times. You might have to do it four times. You might have to do it five times. You might have to do it six times. But when victory comes, you're going to know it. Pick. There it is, Richard. Just don't stop. Just don't stop, man. Just. You know what people ask me all the time? Brother John, how am I going to know when this victory comes? You know what answer I give you? When people come up to me and say, Brother John, I don't know if I got the Holy Ghost or not. I think I might have got. Did I get the Holy Ghost? I tell them, nope. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't have to have me tell you got the Holy Ghost. You'd know you had the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't have. And when the victory comes, I'm talking about tonight, you ain't going to have to have somebody tell you got it. You're going to know you got it because that problem is going to get solved. Come up here. Run up here. Yeah. Run. Run. Yeah, that's a prayer. Just smite the ground. The hand of God's on the bow. Mike.
Bishop Woods. The hand of God's already on our bow. The only question is, how many times are we willing to smite the ground? Just get back. Go ahead, Richard. You're doing what God wants. Just get back in the territory. Just get back with the devil's not from us. No, I'm going to smite the ground until we take the whole country back.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm going to keep smiting the ground, Dennis, as long as Assyrians are threatening us. if the churches of America don't take this seriously, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. Because when we were godly just a little while ago, back in the Brownsville day, they wouldn't even try this. Woman, don't stop smiting. Stay with me, Richard, tonight. Don't stop smiting until there's consumed victory. Permanent. My God. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. If you want supernatural victory, understanding permanent victory, that you might have to smite the ground and go farther than you've ever gone before, raise your hand right now. Now, I am the least of God's servants. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. But I cannot serve you without the supernatural power of God. And God told me to put my hand on your bow tonight. God told me to put my hand on your bow. And what I preach is going to be released in your life. And then it's just going to be up to you and me just how bad we want it. How many want to stop limiting God? How many want to stop limiting God? How many? Come here, Faye. Come here. Come here, Faye. You say, Brother John, first of all, laying on of hands is one of the doctrines of the Bible according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. But it's an impartation. And when the prophet put his hand on this bow, he was imparting. You're worried about losing my mantle. You're worried about losing my covering. Okay, I understand it. You need that. Bam. And the only reason why the enemy wasn't completely consumed was that the man of God limited God to three. And the prophet of God got angry because he said, I had a plan to lead this world by completely destroying Syria as the last miracle God did through me. And all I get is one guy raised from the dead now. That's the truth. Come here, prophet of God. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to do that which is not popular? Are you willing to be made fun of and mocked? Well, how many times am I going to have to get prayed for till it's done? I'm making it just, come here, Sister Linda. How much of my spirit do you want? How much? See, it's up to us. Come here, Linda. Why? Why didn't you go on to 5 or 6? Well, Brother John, how do I know I need to go on? Are your loved ones still lost? Are you still sick? I'm not being ugly, saints. I'm guilty. We limit God because we get our vision from our perspective. We've got to get God's vision. Come here. Pastor, I know the king wasn't probably thinking it through, but God was willing to consume Syria for him. And we wouldn't be fooling with them right now. Well, the Antichrist would probably use someone else to do it, but it wouldn't be the Syrians. He said, well, that's because God's going to spare Syria. You better read Isaiah 17 before you say that. Because if you read Isaiah 17, verse 1, you know better. The longest existing city in the history of this planet is about to be destroyed. It's called Damascus. Read it. It's right there. This is a generational stronghold. And it goes back. Now, I'm not talking about you, Linda. You got deliverance from yours. God says, how many times you smite the ground? Did you stop short? Did you stop short of believing that God could deliver, sanctify? Oh. Are we satisfied just feeling a little bit better? Or do we want to run into the mercy seat? How many of you want complete and total victory in your life tonight? Throw your hands in the air. Now God says, I'm going to ask you to smite the ground. And how do you smite the ground? By standing on your feet right now.